Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me from the Supernatural News Desk, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Mr. Tim Dennis.
Well, good evening.
It's good to have you here, sir. I'm glad we could finally catch up and do another show together. It's been a while. Thank you for filling in for me last Thursday and taking the reins. It was a much-needed time off.
Oh, sure. It was fun.
Yeah. We got a lot to cover this week. There's a lot of news. And for the parashare aspect, I'm going to do some celebrity parashares today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've got 25 different celebrities that have had paranormal encounters. We're going to talk about that. And then I've got some stories from real normal people that are not celebrity, so to say. So let's launch off if we can. I do want to make a quick mention, Tim. Tomorrow in True Crime Tuesday, we get to talk to one of the Manson family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're going to find out what it was like for this woman to be a part of it. It's a full 2-hour episode. And I walk her through her early years in life because, you know what, man? We've been so intrigued with different aspects of the paranormal for so long and true crime. We always like to start at the beginning. And when you hear of cults like Charlie Manson's cult, the Manson family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Jones cult, you start to wonder what kind of person would join a cult like this. Why would they join a cult like this? And you realize, Tim, our guest tomorrow grew up right here in Minnesota. Snake Lake, that's her name in the Manson family. But she grew up in Minnesota, man. And to find out why she grew up in a time that the next logical leap in her life is to become a Manson family member. And you and I never made that leap, Tim.
Well, I could have.
Well, we'll find out from her firsthand how her life progressed. What twists and turns do your lives take to put you in these positions? And her story is unreal. Hmm. So we will talk about that. We'll talk about the repercussions of the crime, how it affected her, the world around us, and what the repercussions and final fallout was for this young woman at the time. So that's tomorrow on True Crime Tuesday. And remember, if you subscribe now, between now and November 22nd, my 50th birthday, we're going to draw three names on the 50th. Whoever subscribed, or on the 22nd, I should say, on my 50th, whoever subscribed, we will draw three names. They will win a 1-year paid subscription to True Crime Tuesday. How about that? It's the gift that keeps on giving. So whether you subscribe and you've been on the fence post wondering if you should take that leap, this is the time to do it. You get 4 to 5 brand new episodes every month that are 90 to 120 minutes long of some of the best and most compelling true crime talk radio. And those are delivered to you every week. But you're not limited to just listen on Tuesdays. Tim, I've got people still emailing me say, but Tuesday's my busiest day and I can't listen on Tuesday.
Well, that doesn't matter.
No, you can listen any day. We just release the episode every Tuesday.
Right.
You can listen Thursday. You can. That's the phenomenon. It's almost like the special Thursday night edition of Monday Night Football. Think of it that way.
Yeah.
Right. So you can listen. You subscribe. The new shows come out Tuesday. You can listen Mondays. You can listen Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays. You can listen even on Wednesdays and Thursdays. It's okay. And it gives you access to all of our past archives. So you get all of that content for just $5 a month. And you can quit at any time. If you decide the show is not for you, which would be silly because, of course, it's for you, you can sign up $5 a month. That's all it takes to get some of the best in true crime talk radio. And then we usually jump in with some dumb crime, stupid criminals. We will not on tomorrow's show, though, Tim. It's 2 hours. It's comprehensive and immersive. Mm-hmm. So it's a full 2 hours of finding out what it's like to become a Manson family member and what was going on in their world. So go subscribe. You can do it one of two ways. Go to darknessradio.com and click on the True Crime Tuesday banner and subscribe that way. Or you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll send you the link to make it even easier. So go sign up and become a member now. Tim, where shall we begin in the world of supernatural news?
Dave, first we're going to start at the Bermuda Triangle, because it may be more than just the Bermuda Triangle.
Is it the Bermuda Hexagon?
No, not in shape. It may be just more than the triangle, Dave. It may be a freaky zone of silence.
A freaky zone of silence. Okay, let me hear what's going on.
Well, the Bermuda Triangle may have a twin, so it may be
okay.
Two triangles. I actually dated a girl once that looked like two triangles, if you know what I mean.
I have no clue.
Well, I'll explain later. It may actually be an alien headquarters revealed. That's according to this article. I know it sounds confusing, and I'm probably making it sound really confusing, but mm-hmm. A mysterious patch of desert exactly in line with the Bermuda Triangle and the pyramids is baffling. It says it's baffling boffins. That sounds like some sort of line from the 1966 Batman series. After becoming a hotspot for UFO sightings and bizarre incidents, conspiracy theorists claim a patch of desert in Mexico called the Zone of Silence could be an alien portal after a shocking number of strange and inexplicable events there. People have been warned not to enter the area in Durango State, where all mobile radio and TV signals fall dead, leaving you trapped 25 miles away from the nearest human settlement. The dusty patch of barren desert, which was once submerged under the sea, has become a mecca for flying saucer spotters, battered by repeated meteorite strikes and the site of a strange U.S. rocket crash. Many who have dared to venture to this seemingly hot mystery zone, not that hot, if you know what I mean, have reportedly felt an instant deep unease, with some even suffering visual and audio hallucinations. It says, get lost, not literally get lost, but, you know, if you get lost, and a trio of blonde strangers will suddenly appear out of nowhere wearing clothes inappropriate for the desert environment and very physically attractive. Interesting.
Suddenly my interest has been piqued.
Well, yes. Yeah, especially mm-hmm. if they're silent, if you know what I mean. The two men and one woman, well, already the odds aren't that great, are extremely polite, speak perfect Spanish, and will only ask for water, according to witnesses. But asked where they come from, they will simply reply, from above. The strange goings-on here go much deeper. Locals in the nearest town report seeing disc-shaped flashing orbs streaking across the sky to and from the Zone of Silence. They also see huge fireballs zooming towards the area and later discover broken up pieces of space rock scattered across the zone's ground. Very interesting indeed. But the centuries of weird events going as far back as the 1850s, when farmers reported hot pebbles falling out of the sky, were largely unknown to the outside world until 1970. It was in that year that a rocket loaded with radioactive material went haywire, going 500 miles off course and crashing into the Zone of Silence at 2 a.m. in the morning. It was as if some huge mysterious magnetic force there drew in the U.S. Air Force rocket. Because of this, coupled with the radiation risk, an immediate recovery mission and investigation was sparked by U.S. Boffins. Not Bilbo Boffins, by the way, but U.S. Boffins.
That's Baggins.
Oh.
Bilbo Baggins.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Bilbo Boffins, I think, was in the Horny Hobbit movie you're thinking of.
Right. Yes, I just got done watching that before we hit the air here. It was a classic.
Well,
I do.
By J.R.R. Jerkin? Yeah,
yes, J.R.R. Jerkin. He's a master.
Yeah.
He really is. Yet when the military arrived to start the probe, all radio signals went dead, and finally, this location was making headlines, but to this day, no one can explain the cause of all these weird occurrences. One suggestion is that the relentless meteor strikes have embedded minerals and ores into the ground, which create magnetic disturbances that have an effect on radio waves. But why so many meteor strikes? No one seems to know for sure. The zone of silence is also the same latitude as a Bermuda Triangle and the pyramids. So put it all together, the Bermuda Triangle, of course, is that 434,000-mile stretch of sea from Florida to Puerto Rico and has been the subject of countless myths and legends for decades, and it is said to have claimed at least 1,000 lives as planes and ships are swallowed in the strange part of the Atlantic. Conspiracy theorists have linked disappearances in the region to aliens, black holes, and even sea monsters, but recently Daily Star Online revealed that a scientist thinks that he has uncovered the real reason for all the vanishings. Yet despite any scientists' opinions, both the Bermuda Triangle and the Zone of Silence seem to have one terrifying thing in common: possessing a mysterious magnetic pole. And it is this that appears to have pulled in meteors, a rocket, and apparently even aliens. But only time will tell whether it pulls in the answer to all the mystery that lies within. So there you go, perpendicular to each other, Dave. Pyramids, the Zone of Silence, and the Bermuda Triangle.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's something to keep an eye on. All right, where shall we go next in our world of strange curiosities?
Well, next we move on and move forward to Megan Fox, speaking of aliens. I know you may not put two and two together there, but Megan Fox has revealed that, yes, folks, she is an alien. Does that surprise you that she's an alien? Megan Fox expects to be contacted by aliens. This is what she says. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actress who has sons Noah.
No, not so much. I feel like the alien because I feel like I'm the only guy on the planet who's not attracted to her.
Really? She doesn't do anything for you? Well, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles actress who has sons Noah 5, Bodhi 3, and 14-month-old Journey. Yes, her son's name is Journey, and stepson Cassius, 15, with husband Brian Austin Green, has never felt like she fits in with the world, so she's convinced that she's one of the first people an otherworldly being would want to get in touch with. I don't know that that's exactly the calling card we want to leave with civilization. So apparently, Megan Fox says that she's always had a feeling that I don't belong to anything, even to the world. There was a time, Megan, where you did belong to my heart, but then there was all that weird behavior and the plastic surgery and the... I don't think she belongs to me either, Dave. I'm just saying.
Has she had plastic surgery? She doesn't look... I just, like I said, I've never found her attractive, so I've never really paid that close attention to her.
I think she's had a little bit. She's had a little bit of work. And then there's the
she's so young to have had work. That's weird. I don't know. What are we we're turning into a yak fest here about
a little bit.
Let's just get back into it. So she thinks she's an alien.
She thinks that aliens would be the first to want to get in touch with her. That she'd be the first contact, to be exact. She said, feeling apart for me has been exacerbated by fame. I think that's a lesson I've had to learn. I'm one of those people who thinks if aliens are real, when they come back to Earth, I'm one of the humans they'll contact. It's me. I know it's going to be me. I've always had that feeling, she went on to say. The 31-year-old beauty, she's only 31. Wow. Always felt like an outsider.
That's what I was saying. She just seems too young to be having surgeries.
Yeah, I know she had a thing done with her lips and And not that I'm all that obsessive about her, but, you know, she's had a couple things done.
I think you may be, you just revealed a little too much of your hand, good
well,
sir.
Well, maybe a little. The 31-year-old beauty always felt like an outsider at school and admitted her classmates were freaked out by her quirky personality. She went on to tell Cosmopolitan magazine, "I wasn't popular. Everyone thought I was very strange, eccentric, and it freaked people out that my personality is the opposite of how I look." Megan isn't the only star interested in aliens, as Happy Mondays frontman Sean Ryder previously claimed to have seen a 20-foot by 10-foot spaceship in his backyard while filming in South America. He said at the time, "We were filming in South America, and I remember I got back to my house at about 5 a.m. and I saw a craft outside my house. It was huge, around 20 feet by 10 feet. It looked plastic like a toy, and I didn't believe it at first. I thought our production team were playing a trick on me, but nobody else saw it." So there you go. If aliens show up, Dave, it's Megan Fox who's going to field that call. And by gosh, I don't think I feel very good about that at all.
You know, as weird as that does sound, I've felt that way since I was a little kid. I really remember thinking, I don't think I'm from here. And I don't know if I've ever talked to you about that in the past, but really? I told some friends, oh yeah, because I've even had friends from high school that know what I do now that said, "Do you remember us having conversations about this at, you know, sitting out in the backyard or just talking how you really felt like you just, this isn't where you're from, and you weren't saying you thought you were alien so much, but you just felt like you weren't from this planet." It was, and I did, man. Ever since a very young age, I've just always felt that weird disconnect. I wonder how many, I'm sure there's a lot of us out there that are completely mentally insane like me that, well, have that same sensation. But
see, I
do get that.
I wouldn't chalk it up to insanity. There are some people that truly do believe, and some psychics will tell you that you probably had a past life where you were an alien, or you were on a different planet or part of a different species. I wouldn't chalk it up to insanity. Maybe you had a past life as a different species.
Well, all right. Different strokes for different folks, I guess. All right, where are we going to go next?
Well, speaking of alien life and Dave's other life on another planet, see, I'm already jumping to conclusions. Alien life is probably a lot like human life because of natural selection. This according to a new scientific theory. Alien life is probably a lot similar to human life than you would expect. That according to a paper that was recently published in the International Journal of Astrobiology. The paper written by scientists at the University of Oxford claims that life on other planets will be subject to natural selection, just like organisms on planet Earth. If organisms were affected by natural selection, then it's likely that they share some similar characteristics, so the aliens out there could, therefore, share common traits with Earthlings. This is despite the fact that many of these worlds are not carbon-based like Earth. Living things are adopted, says study co-author Samuel Levin, who is a doctoral candidate in zoology at the University of Oxford. He said that in an interview with Live Science. They appear to be trying to do things like eat, survive, grow, and reproduce. Levin added that the only way for any alien organism to adapt would be through natural selection. Anything that will stand out to us as alien life will have undergone natural selection, he said. Natural selection is a theory of evolution first put forward by Charles Darwin in 1850. Darwin proposed that organisms with inherited traits that supported survival will procreate more and then pass these traits on to later generations. So natural selection means that organisms become adapted to their environments because only the fittest have survived. Once they established that aliens were subject to natural selection as their base theory, the scientists then tried to figure out what the aliens look like. According to the theory, natural selection would have created alien organisms with a particular appearance. Aliens who undergo natural selection would be nested, meaning that they would have developed varying degrees of complexity over time. Their physical bodies would retain markers of these transformations, the theory their claims. On Earth, our genes worked with each other to create genomes, which became the blueprints for cells. These basic cells eventually joined together to make more complex cells. These cells cooperated to form multicellular organisms, which then worked together to form colonies or societies. The scientists posit that alien life would have evolved in that they would be composites of smaller organisms that work with each other just like cells of the human body. As for where these adapted aliens may be hiding, there's another scientific theory that claims that they may be living in their own civilizations in underground oceans. Do you believe that we're alone in the universe? It's an interesting theory. Dave, you kind of feel like maybe you weren't from this planet. What do you think?
Well, I think I've seen UFOs, so I believe we're not alone in this universe. I think there's something definitely going on out there. Would they look like us? Why not? Especially if we are a derivative of them, mm-hmm. as many people believe that we're kind of the science experiment. We might be similar in a lot of ways. Maybe the only difference is they have giant black eyes and they send their children here first.
That's it.
Soul collecting alien hybrids that have no souls that come to collect the souls of the soon to depart. Maybe that's what fires them up and energizes them. I don't know.
Well, now
I don't
you're know. Just making it creepy.
Yeah. All right. Where are we going to go next?
Well, evidently I'm going into puberty. That's where we're going next. My voice just cracked. Former Blink 182 singer Tom DeLonge is crowdfunding his own spaceship. You know, interestingly enough, there was a story. I read a story probably a week or two ago. They were talking about bands that are reforming and getting back on tour. And they were saying Blink 182 was not ever going to get back together. But one of the things keeping them from getting back together was Tom DeLonge's passion for UFOs. And his passion for alien life and getting out there and proving or getting disclosure out there and proving that UFOs existed. And supposedly he's the thing keeping Blink 182 from getting back together. That according to Travis Barker, I guess. But former Blink 182 guitarist and singer Tom DeLonge walked away from the rock star life to spread the truth he knows about alien life and technologies. The universe is effing gigantic and there's life everywhere. That's a quote from him. This is the belief of former 182 guitarist and singer Tom DeLonge, who walked away from the rock star life 2 years ago to further his research into UFOs and the greater unknown. While it might seem like a strange move to leave behind a successful music career, DeLonge said he saw no other option after being vetted by the U.S. government. Speaking on the Joe Rogan podcast, DeLonge said it all started when he received a mysterious email asking him to meet government officials next to the Pentagon on a certain day and time. Somebody at a very high level closed the door, looked me in the eye and said, "Okay, I'm going to introduce you to somebody," DeLonge said. "That person comes to San Diego and puts me on the phone to a general. I was like, I know what's going on here, and you guys are doing a kick-ass job, and I would have done the same thing should I have been the guy at the top." DeLonge was referring to information he had uncovered regarding alien life and technology, but was highly secretive when it came to giving explicit details of who he had held discussions with, what exactly he had witnessed. Some of the details DeLonge was able to share was the 1947 Roswell UFO incident, and that it was an experimental German aircraft which the U.S. was attempting to obscure the existence of. "What I believe crashed at Roswell, I believe it was German," he said, "but it had hallmarks and technology based on alien technology. So we put out a story saying it's alien, and then we put out a story saying it's a weather balloon, but the real thing we didn't want anyone to guess." He also claims the government eventually came across a life form during the Cold War. "I fly out to this airport and I sit at a table in a restaurant at the airport," he said. No one's in there, "and this gentleman sits down and the waiter comes up. He waves off the waiter and he looks me in the eye and says, 'It was the Cold War and we found a life form.'" Well, on the podcast, DeLonge launched an appeal for funding for his new public benefit corporation named To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. Partnering with former government officials, DeLonge hopes to crowdfund his own spacecraft and other exotic technologies. To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences has mobilized a team of the most experienced, connected, and passionately curious minds from the U.S. intelligence community, and that includes the CIA and Department of Defense, that have been operating under the shadows of top secrecy for decades, that according to the website. The company strives to be a powerful vehicle for change by creating a consortium among science, aerospace, and entertainment that will work collectively to allow gifted researchers the freedom to explore exotic science and technologies with the infrastructure and resources to rapidly transition them to products that can change the world. in regards to the science side of things. DeLong said his company will study consciousness, brain-computer interfaces, UAPs, and telepathy. For entertainment, the former Blink-182 frontman said he will be publishing books and shooting documentaries and feature-length films to educate the public on the discoveries made by the company. For aerospace, to the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences hopes to develop tech to launch small satellites into orbit using ground-based lasers. They're friggin' lasers, Dave. While also working on the spacecraft. We have a concept for an international point-to-point transportation craft that will erase the current travel limits of distance and time. It mimics the capabilities observed in unidentified aerial phenomena by employing a drive system that alters space-time metric. The website explains. We have glimpses of how the physics of this works, but we need to harvest technologies from the science division to realize the capability. Since launching, the company has raised over $2.3 million from over 1,572 investors. That's pretty impressive.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Jeez. See, all it took was a rock and roller to get this whole thing going.
Well, yeah, why not? I guess if that's the way it's going to go. I did you hear the Rogan interview?
I did not, no.
I just felt DeLong wasn't really
forthcoming.
It wasn't forthcoming. He was kind of evasive, but I also felt like Rogan just wasn't having it. So, I don't know. It just felt weird to me, the whole interview.
So, he was extremely cynical? Is that a way of
kind of, but kind of not. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, he was, you know, Rogan. He's always kind of balls to the wall and pushing you for an answer. I don't know. To me, it just felt like it was an awkward situation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Where shall we go next in our journey, Mr. Dennis?
To a little bit of criticism, skepticism, and a bit of controversy, Dave. That's where we're going.
Okay.
We're about to talk a little bit about Ghost Adventures Halloween episode and something that Zach Bagans did that has people kind of nervous.
All right. Do tell.
Well, the Ghost Adventures crew has amazed fans once again with the paranormal investigating first. The much-anticipated Halloween episode revealed a haunting investigation of the real Annabelle doll at Zach Bagans' new haunted museum in Las Vegas. The doll was brought in by its current owner and Zach, along with Aaron, Billy, and Jay, and were warned not to touch the evil doll. After an intense moment, Zach does touch the doll against all warnings and since has received a ton of criticism for doing so. Now, Bagans is now speaking out to fans to share exactly why he touched Annabelle and about the repercussions of doing so. Paranormal Magazine addressed some of the allegations that Zach and the Ghost Adventures crew now face after the Annabelle investigation. They also shared details about her existence for those not familiar with the legendary Annabelle doll. Annabelle is reportedly the most haunted doll in the world and is dated back to 1970. She was taken into care by Ed and Lorraine Warren after two student nurses, one of which was the original owner, were tormented by the doll and many strange occurrences started happening, including the doll attacking visitors, moving to different locations or positions, and even levitating. Annabelle is reportedly so evil she was locked into a glass case and only handled with gloves and holy water for less than a minute at a time. It is said that she was responsible for harming and even killing one visitor to the Warren's Occult Museum in Connecticut. Annabelle has, of course, also made some people very rich from two movies based on her existence. Tony Spira is now the official owner of the evil doll and agreed to allow Annabelle out of her case for Zach and the crew to investigate. When the doll was placed in the middle of the room, something drew Zach to her. Bagans touched the doll after he says Annabelle led him to do so. Many fans were outraged that Zach did not adhere to the warnings from Tony about touching Annabelle with his bare hands. After Zach disobeyed the instructions and touched her, Tony was angry and again told Bagans he was now in danger. Tony put Annabelle back in her box at that point. After seeing the episode, many fans spoke out, saying they felt it was a hoax and perhaps even a theatrical performance with Zach as the lead. Many are confused why Ghost Adventures were allowed to have her out of the case when she had been locked up for so long. Some fans even suggested that perhaps the doll was replaced with a duplicate to avoid getting the real Annabelle out of her case. Zach is now speaking out and giving a statement about the events that occurred during the investigation. Zach took to Facebook to share his thoughts and explain why he touched Annabelle. Baggins respectfully said that while viewers think they know what it is like to be in these situations, they do not. Zach goes on to explain he is 100% sensitive. His quote was, "I absorb and sense energies around me at a very high level, whether it's from living people, residual energy, objects, or from spirits. I've been like this my entire life. I'm not a psychic medium. I'm a sensitive," he said. He goes on by saying, "It's a rush. It's draining. It's exhilarating. It's terrifying all in one, depending who or what I'm in contact with." Zach goes on to explain the layers and layers of negative energy that surrounds Annabelle. Baggins then shares more detail about the extraordinary evidence they captured during the investigation. Zach, who was skeptical prior to the investigation, says there was too much evidence to discredit Annabelle and the evil that surrounds her. Baggins was completely affected by the happenings surrounding Annabelle. He says he became very sad for no reason at all. Zach says Annabelle was manipulating him, and at times he was even in a trance. As far as the owner, Tony, becoming angry, Zach says what really disturbed Tony was him finally seeing hardcore evidence surrounding these events in person as a witness. Zach goes on to share that his touching Annabelle was not to make great television, but rather he just felt compelled to do so. Zach apologizes to Tony and Lorraine Warren for touching her, but continues saying he did not have direct control at that moment. "Touching her, I feel, has led to many strange events, and I do believe was indeed a dangerous thing to do." That's the quote from Zach. Zach wraps up his post by sharing how much of an honor it was for Ghost Adventures to investigate this infamous doll on television. He says that they captured extraordinary evidence, and he thanked fans for tuning in to witness their investigation. Ghost Adventures is currently airing Season 15 on the Travel Channel, and new episodes, as well as previous episodes, can be seen on Saturday nights. And if you're in Las Vegas, don't miss the opportunity to visit Zach's Haunted Museum and witness some scary pieces of history for yourself.
I've talked to quite a few people who have been to the museum, and they've really loved it. They said it was fantastic, and it's really worth the bang for your buck. So I'm tempted. I want to get down there. I'm going to go for Super Bowl in February. I'm going to try to swing in there and get a chance to see the museum for myself and do a walkthrough. I might even see if I can get a chance to investigate at night if he's willing to. But you know what I should do? I should reach out to him, Tim, and maybe there's a way we could stream and do a live broadcast from the museum while I'm in town.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a fun little deal. We'll check in on that. The whole touching Annabelle, I don't know, man. Would you do that?
You know,
it's a big Raggedy Ann doll, but and Tony Spera is the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine Warren. So he's the one, I believe, that is kind of taking care of their estate at this point.
If Tony were so opposed to it, I would think it would be I can see why Tony is opposed to it. He doesn't want other people to be in danger of any type of possession or being put in mortal danger. I get that. But I would think it's to the buyer beware type of situation. If it's okay with Tony, sure, I would do that in the name of an investigation or trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of evidence, sure.
You would touch it?
Yeah.
Even though knowing that it's supposed to cause... I mean, you talk all the time about being cursed and feel like there's something negative. You would still reach out and touch that anyway.
I feel like nothing much more bad could happen.
Wow, that's a bad challenge to throw the universe. All right, where shall we go next, sir?
Well, we move on to a fortune teller in France. A woman has sued a fortune teller who said she would die within 6 months. Speaking of bad things happening to you. A fortune teller in France is being sued after telling a customer she'd be dead within 6 months. This is why when you sit down with a psychic medium or a fortune teller, you don't ever ask when you're going to die.
Right.
The 35-year-old woman said she suffered severe psychological trauma after the doom-laden prediction by the telephone clairvoyant last July. She paid £25 for the premium rate call and was told her doctor had wrongly diagnosed the stomach and chest pains that she had been feeling. The woman, named only as Magalie, said she told me that I had heart trouble and that if I didn't see a better doctor, I'd be dead within 6 months. So I went to see another doctor who told me there was nothing whatsoever wrong with me. I called the clairvoyant back, but she stuck to her prediction and told me that a lot of doctors were incompetent. That's a good out, I guess. She added, I began to feel so traumatized, I saw a therapist who advised me to take legal action against a clairvoyant. So now I am seeking damages through the court. The president of France's National Institute of Paranormal Arts told the Le Républicain newspaper. That's as good as I get with French. Mediums should never predict someone's death. It is completely against our code of practice. Fraudulent mediums have been known to do this to frighten their victims into seeking more expensive clairvoyant readings. We receive dozens of similar complaints every month, the quote went on to say. The case is due to come before a judge in Eastern France later this month.
That's crazy. Yeah, why would you tell anybody that?
I don't know. And you would think the easy shakeoff on this deal from the clairvoyant or the medium is to say, well, you know, it's if you don't get better treatment, you could be dead within 6 months. Obviously, you receive better treatment, and that's your out. You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
And that the out in the court's eyes, or when you go to court, the out would be, hey, you know what? Nothing is a for sure, you know, circumstance in a reading. Anything can change. You have free will. You change your medication, that changes your fate or whatever happens, you know. I would think it'd be pretty tough to sue a clairvoyant and win in that case, wouldn't you?
I would think so. I don't know. I just, first of all, I think it's bad form to ask when you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I also think it's bad form as a medium that you should, you know, but I guess what would you do? You know, that's the other aspect of it. If you truly were sensitive and picking up on the fact somebody's going to die, would you let them know?
You know, there's a DJ in town here that used to play that game on the air. He'd give you a choice of wanting to know, I forget, it was either when you were going to die or there was one other thing. And people rarely picked the day they were going to die or the date they were going to die. Oh, it was how you were going to die or when you were going to die. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the game they would play on the air. And I don't know that, and there were people that would call and would want to know. I think that's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't think you should mess with that. But you know, and I don't know that the psychic he had on was all that accurate either, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you mess with that or you start playing with that, and then you have it in your head that that's the way I'm going to go. So then you start making decisions based on that, you know, and either you start speeding headlong towards that fate or you start swerving your way away from that fate, and maybe your end comes sooner because you're steering yourself towards a different path that's going to bring your death sooner. Who knows?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre. I just don't think you should. I don't think you should ask. I guess if a medium feels that they should tell you, and if there's something coming through, I don't know, man. Yeah, you want to think that if the spirit world is reaching out to you to try to save your life, yeah, you want to hear that message.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know what I'd do with that information. You know, would I be afraid constantly? I mean, I'm already in a state of anxiety about death, you know. Now if they said, oh, self-erotic asphyxiation, it's a hell of a way to go, Dave. I might be really nervous next time. I don't know. That's my statement. All right.
Just don't put a belt around your neck when you're jerking it.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
all
not. All right. You where know, are we going to go next?
I will tell you this, though, real quickly before we move on to the next story. I did have years ago. Chris Fleming, he confronted me in front of an elevator, or actually between the elevator and my room in Philadelphia, and he was mad at me. I couldn't figure out why he was mad at me, and he was screaming at me. And I was like, what is wrong with you? And he had dreams for like 3 or 4 consecutive nights. He said, I kept dreaming that you had lost your foot and this and this and this. And he said, I was standing over you and I was crying, and because you had lost your foot and you could have avoided it, and it was my right foot. And he was supposedly seeing a future where I lost my foot. And he was giving me this warning, you know, and this was way before I had the Charcot foot. So, you know, there is something to it. There is something to getting a warning ahead of time so that you can, you know, so there is something to it. I'll give it.
But he gave you the warning, and then you've had the issues with the foot anyway. You were watching it, so I don't know.
I've had the issues, but I've been able to save the foot. Had I not been aware, had I not had that warning, I don't know that I would have been that diligent with it. I might have just lost it. You know?
Something to think about, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, where are we going to go next in the world of the strange?
Well, a bride claims that her father's ghost linked arms with her in a spooky wedding day photo. Sade Marriott said the spooky picture proves that the ghost of her father, Wayne Mundine, was there with her at her wedding near Leicester. Bride claims that a wedding day picture shows her dad at her big day 14 years after he died. Sade Marriott says the spooky picture proves the ghost of her father, Wayne Mundine, was there at her wedding at Brooksby Hall, located between Melton Mowbray and Leicester. And I'm looking for the picture of his arm, and I guess, I don't know.
I see it to me, and again, I don't like poo-pooing on people's dreams here, man, but it just looks like they caught a movement, like...
Right.
She's moving, but her arm is in motion, and it's giving this false perception. But I guess if she feels it was her dad holding her arm and escorting her, I don't want to take that away from her.
Yeah, that's true. The photo taken by a friend shows it. It says,
"So if you're listening, yes, congratulations, your dad was there. If you're not listening, it's not her dad. It's a motion of her arm being caught in photographic picture. That's it. I don't know. Do you see it? I that's all it looks like.
It just looks like an arm in motion, to be honest with you. That's the skeptic.
I hope it was him. And I'm just glad she felt good that he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the important thing.
The photo taken by a friend shows her in her wedding dress with part of her right arm mysteriously missing. It's in motion. The 33-year-old Sade of Glenfield said, "That is my dad linking arms with me. His arm is obscuring mine. I could not believe my eyes when my friend sent it to me a couple of days after the wedding. I could really..."
Well, Sade's dad, he is a smooth operator.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Smooth operator.
I see what you did there. You know what? His love is king, Dave. So see what I did? I went and I tied it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I could really feel Dad was there with me in that moment, and that's proof for me. He was practically a soldier of love, Dave, is what he was. I'm just going.
That was Donny Osmond. That was Donny Osmond.
No, it was also shot later.
Really? Yeah. She ripped off Donny Osmond?
No, she didn't rip
it. Must have hit the bottom. She was knocking off Donny Osmond.
It was a better version, Dave. It really was.
Was it the same song?
No, it wasn't. No.
I can't call it better. Donny's pretty remarkable.
Is it a crime, Dave? That's what I'm wondering. Is it a crime that he showed up
to try to rip off Donny Osmond?
No. It's another Sade song. I'm a big Sade fan. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I really only know Smooth Operator.
I've seen her twice in concert. Fan. That's my, there you go. That's my Achilles heel. I've seen Sade twice in concert. You can go ahead and email me and tell me what a wuss I am.
You're the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who's been keeping her going all these years.
Good for you. Good
She added, "I knew he would not miss my big day, and he did not." Well, as far as you know. The mom of three tied the knot with sweetheart Calvin Marriott, who's 32 years old, on October 15th. The blushing bride said,
"At least she's marrying into a good family, the Marriott
family."
Yeah,
I know, right?
She's always got a place to sleep, I guess.
I guess there's plenty of hotels in that Monopoly family. The blushing bride said Calvin proposed last year after making a promise to her dad, a former store man at Glenfield Hospital. Sade said, "Calvin vowed to my dad as he was lying in the chapel of rest that he would look after me and marry me one day. Dad died of a heart attack at age 40. Wow.
Oh, that sucks.
Is young. Loved Calvin, and I know he would have been happy about his promise. It was typical of Dad to turn up in the bar after the ceremony. We always linked arms, and he always linked my right arm," she went on to say. The bride was given away by Calvin's dad, David Rose, who was carrying a gold trinket box with some of Sade's father's ashes in it. Sade said, "So Dad was with us in that way, too. But I knew he would not miss the party in spirit. The trinket box was put on the top table near my mom, Justine, with a framed photo of Dad and a pint of lager for him." Well, at least they kept him well lubed up. You gotta like that. Mm-hmm. Mom said she did not want a drink. Then Dad's photo fell over and knocked two glasses over. Evidently he had too much. I'm just saying. That was
he was just clinking glasses.
Well, that
it was
well,
a cheers.
But he didn't have any hands to hold on to. So I,
that's right.
Yeah. That was him telling her not to be so silly and enjoy the party is what she said. I think maybe he was a little blitzed. She then sent the photo to Paranormal Investigations UK, which posted the picture on its Facebook site. A spokesperson for the Paranormal Investigations UK said, in this photo, the bride thinks she stands alone for the photo, but was she alone? That's the big question. Her right arm and hand have disappeared, and behind her, a white mist is clearly seen. This, according to them, this is where her father always held her arm. We don't have a natural reason for it. We have the original image, and it's genuine. This photo will be a very special moment for the bride, and for those of you that have lost a loved one, take comfort. If your loved one thinks you need their help, or and more so, if there's a party taking place later, don't be surprised if your loved one comes and joins you. So there you go.
That's right. Well, and I'm happy she's happy again. Like I said, that's great. And I don't want to besmirch that moment. It's very nice. And who are we to say, really? Maybe you and I are the dumbasses and we're the wrong ones. That's been known to happen, Tim. I've heard people call us dumbasses, so there must be something to it.
Well, I've been wrong once. Just saying.
Make it twice now.
Maybe.
Make it twice.
Maybe.
All right, go ahead. Where shall we continue our journey?
Mom claims that a ghost has wreaked havoc on her home for 13 years by smashing photos, slamming doors, and even mimicking her own voice and that of her partner.
That just sounds like having kids to me.
Yeah.
Breaking my stuff, mimicking my voice. Get down here. Get down here.
Yeah. And welcome.
Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me? Just my kids.
Yeah. Welcome to Dave's
horrible
life.
Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. Sure you do.
I have to keep saying that. I need their parts as I get older.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to need those replacement parts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Better keep them well fed. Karen Wakefield says her home has been haunted by Malcolm for 13 years. That's the name of the ghost, evidently. Claims that this ghost has smashed photo frames and turned the kettle on, and she's embraced his presence and even signs his name on Christmas cards, evidently because he can't do it himself. A woman revealed how, after having her house haunted by a ghost named Malcolm, who puts the kettle on for guests, he's a considerate ghost, for the past 13 years, she's now accepted him as part of the family, even signing his name on cards, because that's not strange. For more than a decade, the specter has wreaked havoc on Karen Wakefield's Manchester home, smashing photographs, slamming doors, and even mimicking her partner, 52-year-old Paul Dawson's voice, to coax her downstairs. Oh, maybe he's looking for a little nookie. He's like, come
on. Spiritual nookie.
Yeah, he's like, come on down here, girly.
what accent was that?
I don't know.
That he was using? Come on down here,
I didn't really go for it.
Sold out halfway through. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Though the 52-year-old remains terrified of Malcolm, whose name was revealed via a Ouija board. Of course, that's how most people get good names of spirits. Along with the fact that he died in 1858 at age 57, she says she's now come to accept his presence. I still won't be alone in the house because I'm so scared, but I've also come to accept Malcolm as part of the family. I even signed his name on cards from us all, said Karen, who is unable to work because she's disabled. She added, I'll chat to him and tell him off if he's acting up. It's the best way to be. He loves interacting with people. He even puts the kettle on when we have guests. Ever since she was little, Karen has felt a connection to the spiritual world.
Doesn't it make you wonder, okay, why is he such a dick in breaking picture frames? But then he's like, it's time to break a picture frame again, I see. But first a bit of tea, perhaps a little tea. And you know what his favorite kind is, don't you?
Earl Grey?
Nope.
Oh.
Paranormal Activa tea.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It's paranormal activity.
I get it.
Dad jokes. It's a dad joke thing.
I see.
My kids shake their head in disgust and go, oh, dad jokes.
As they should. Yeah.
Paranormal
activity. I get it.
That's his favorite kind.
That is so out of those third grade dumb joke books. Yeah. Could write your own.
And
mm-hmm. You know why I think he does that? Because you have to keep up airs in front of guests.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally
I shall break this ugly, hideous frame, but I'm not so uncivilized to not put on a nice crock of tea for us. The kettle is bubbling.
It's bubbling.
Bubbling.
Yeah. He's just putting on airs because, you know, I mean,
he's been terrified for 13 years, but he makes tea for.
Right.
Really, I'm so sorry I keep spooking you and such. But, you know, let's go on, have some tea and let's chat about it.
She's like, oh, he's so abusive. But wait a minute. I have to put his name on the card. Hold on. Okay. From Malcolm. Yeah, I don't know. It seems a little dysfunctional, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why she sounds a little bit like the cross between a chicken and Julia Child, but I put her in that category.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, ever since she was little, Karen felt a connection to the spiritual world. Describing herself as very psychic, she was convinced that the house she grew up in was haunted after hearing mysterious knocks, bangs, and footsteps when nobody else was home. As she grew up and moved out, she lived in a number of houses where there was no paranormal goings-on whatsoever. Karen learned that was a caption for a photo. There we go. Then in 2004, she moved. This article is so confusing. Then in 2004, she moved into the home she lives in today, and everything changed. At first, she said, I'd hear some odd smashes or come into the kitchen to find all the drawers open with their contents on the floor, she explained. One time, I felt a tug on my dressing gown, but when I turned around, there was nobody anywhere near me. Then things escalated one night when Karen had been to a friend's house, getting home at around 10 p.m., and a sense of uneasiness had washed over her. She continued, at the time, one of my doors was off its hinges, and I felt a bit scared somebody would be able to look in and watch me, so I dragged it over the doorframe to block the view. I just sat down when I heard a huge bang and turned around to see the door shaking and moving. My dog, who sadly now died, was growling away, then shot off upstairs, and I was absolutely frozen with fear. I phoned my friend and kept saying to her, you need to come around. Something is in the house. At first, she thought I was joking, but hearing how panicked I was, she soon realized I was serious. As I spoke to her, the banging stopped, but then I heard the kettle flick on and cups clanging from the other room. Oh, so he had her trapped up in the bedroom and decided to make her tea. He's romantic. That's what he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my terrified mind, I thought, is this thing making me a brew? Confiding in family and friends. This is just weird. Karen said they initially didn't believe her, which hasn't helped by the fact that the ghost went quiet for a while after the door incident. Then when Paul moved in, he too had a paranormal experience. Paul has always been a huge skeptic, not believing in anything like that at all, Karen said. Then he was watching a film one day while I was in bed when he said he kept hearing whistling and seeing something flit across the screen. He wasn't frightened at all, though. He just came upstairs and said, I met your spook friend. Well, no, that's not good. In a bid to know more about the specter haunting her home, Karen invited over a number of mediums who all picked up on a strange energy in the house. She also enlisted the help of a group of paranormal enthusiasts who run ghost hunts in a nearby park, inviting them over to film footage, which captured a mysterious shadow descending the stairs and a CCTV camera set up in the home being knocked to one side. Karen said, I don't like to tell people too much about what's happened before they come around, as I want them to make their own mind up, but every medium agrees that there's something going on. I know people can be very skeptical about this sort of thing. I myself am a got-to-see-it-to-believe-it person, but even my friends who don't believe in ghosts say there's a definite energy in the house. As her home was only built in the 1930s, Karen believes Malcolm lived in whatever property stood there before, something she plans to research at some stage. She's unsure as to exactly what the spirit wants, but friends have suggested he's especially drawn to her as she may remind him of his wife. Now she and Paul stream ghost hunts via Facebook Live, along with their daughter Madison, who's 16, where people from all over the world tune in and try to catch a glimpse of Malcolm. Karen said people will comment, saying that what they've seen. Often it's things like lights flickering or shadows behind us that we wouldn't otherwise have noticed. Even after the family got to know Malcolm's history through the Ouija board, and adopted a more welcome approach, his supernatural antics haven't calmed down. Karen continued, I can be really unsettling. Nowadays, I won't sleep at home alone or go downstairs by myself. Malcolm even manages to mimic us. Once I heard my own voice out on the landing while I was in bed. Another time, Paul kept shouting for me, but when I went downstairs, there was nobody there and his car was gone. He was out, but I heard his voice 100%. I know people may not believe me, but this is what's happening. Loads of my family and friends have seen it. And if skeptics come spend a night at my house, they will too. Now, here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
You go on, you have all these people come in, you have investigators come in, you put yourself on Facebook Live and you expect people to, you know, look for Malcolm. Aren't you just feeding Malcolm more and more and more and getting him to come around? If you're so scared of him, why would you continue to do this?
Theoretically, Tim, now just shut up and let's put on a nice pot, a little boo brew, so we can discuss about this. All right, where are we going to go next?
Well, experts say home sellers don't have to disclose murders and hauntings, Dave, when you're going to buy a haunted house. We go to Tempe, Arizona.
This seems to vacillate every few years.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
We've done stories where you have to, then you don't. I think it varies kind of state to state, but what have they got to say on this one?
Well, when Patricia St. Vincent bought a 1910 Colonial Revival house in Tempe more than 30 years ago, the seller congratulated her and said, "You just bought yourself a haunted house." Yikes.
Dun, dun, dun.
That didn't bother St. Vincent when she closed the deal on the Ash Street property. She transformed the house into Casey Moore's Oyster House. Well, it should be Haunted Oyster House, but you know,
right.
We don't need it to go neither here nor there. But shortly after the remodel, odd events began to happen. For three nights in a row, the alarm went off at 4 a.m., she said. Neighbors called and they said they saw a woman dancing upstairs. St. Vincent would arrive to find the house empty. I found it amusing, she said. Although St. Vincent took the haunting in stride, some buyers might not react the same way. And in this case, the seller went above and beyond Arizona law by disclosing the paranormal activity to St. Vincent. Sellers in Arizona must disclose certain aspects of a property, including things like mold, termites, and roof damage. A haunted house, however, is not in the mix. In fact, sellers don't have to disclose murders, natural death, or any sort of paranormal activity, said Amanda Salvione, an associate at Radix Law in Scottsdale. If you don't want to end up like the families in Poltergeist or the others, you have to do your own homework, according to this Ms. Salvione. A buyer has to do their own investigation and diligence, according to her. Salvione calls this the buyer beware warning. Salvione said even heinous crimes are classified as psychological effects and do not need to be mentioned when selling a house, so the buyer must know the right questions to ask. Do your research and maybe talk to the neighbors and find out if the house is rumored to be haunted, said Shelly Sakala, a real estate agent at HomeSmart.
But let me ask you something, in all honesty. If you're just like up mowing your lawn and the neighbor's house is for sale, mm-hmm. and somebody pulls up and they come up to you and they go, "Hey, you know, we're considering buying the house next door. And I'm just curious, has there been any word of a haunting?" Now, first of all, if you're open-minded like me or you, right, we might be like, "Oh, you know, I don't know. I never heard." Or, "Yeah, we heard about that too." And then you've got a cool story to share.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But what about, Tim, just stick with me on this.
Yep.
What about, what if you don't like the looks of the people coming out of their car? So you got any information on that house? Any haunting? Yeah. Yeah, I heard there was demons in the basement. And from my understanding, it was driving the past owner so insane that I even heard he's willing to drop the house price by a couple thousand just to get it off his hands. But personally, I would never live in there. As a matter of fact, I've salted my entire property. This looks like I'm mowing it. I'm laying down holy water and salt. And that would be the way you'd make sure that they don't move in.
I got holy water in the sprinkler system.
That's right. I'm out blessing with a Dominus Nabiscus while we're doing this right now. I don't know. Yeah, that just might not be the best way to go. All right.
I can't imagine that's a common question when you roll up to the neighbor's house.
Yeah. Hey, so good school district? Yeah, it's great around here. How about crime? Do you have we're
property
pretty good with
high?
Crime. Property, you know, they're mid-ground, mid-range. I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. No, it's a pretty good neighborhood overall. Yeah. All right. Any garish murders or violent hauntings I should be aware about? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we have those.
Satan living in the basement?
Yeah, but you've got a great block party.
Oh.
You know, you get past the Satan in the basement and the severed ghost heads in the attic, but our block party kicks ass. And I like to throw a little shrimp on the bobby from time to time. We can crack up when a cold one if your soul is still there. So good luck and congratulations on the new purchase.
I think the wife and I will be real happy. Yeah. But there is a catch to this whole deal, Dave, out in Arizona. If the seller lies about paranormal activities when asked by the buyer, the seller can be held liable. Go figure. They can't lie to you to get you to buy the house, Salvione went on to say. If the seller believes the house is haunted and actively promotes it as such, the seller has an obligation to tell the buyer. Such was the case in the 1991 Supreme Court case, Stambofsky versus Ackley. I think we're all familiar. I don't know. Jeffrey Stambofsky bought a house in New York and later found media articles about paranormal activities in the house. The court decided that because the seller, Helen Ackley, brought the paranormal activity into the spotlight, she was obligated to tell Stambofsky. Sakala said despite the potential dangers of buying a haunted house, she doesn't hear many complaints. In my 15 years of doing real estate, I've never had one person ask me about a home being haunted, Sakala went on to say. I think it all comes down to, do you believe in ghosts or do you not believe in them? In some cases, the haunting can actually draw people into a sale and the potential to make a profit, especially if it involves a celebrity or legend, according to LegalZoom. Some Arizona towns, such as Bisbee, Jerome, and Tombstone, promote ghost tours. In Phoenix, those looking for a spooky experience have several options, including the Hotel San Carlos, the Orpheum Theater, and the Rawson House. For those simply looking for a new place to live, the ghoulish past might not become a deal breaker. 33% of people are open to living in a haunted house, according to a recent study by Realtor.com. But the type of paranormal experience matters. About half the respondents said they were open to living somewhere with strange noises or temperature spots, but only 20% would live in a home where they felt the spirit touched them. Many guests and employees believe several ghosts haunt Casey Moore's. Although it's unclear how this ghost story started, people believe three ghosts haunt the property. Witnesses said they've seen shadows crossing in the hallways and silverware mysteriously jammed in the ceiling. Oh, that just could be somebody having fun.
Right.
It's not like the spirit is coming from around the corner with a hockey mask chasing you with a baseball bat, said David Schleifer, the general manager at Casey Moore's. Guests and employees said they accept the eerie feeling of the bar, and if anything, it adds to the charm. It was just always something that's more interesting about the place, said Ian Westlake, a server at Casey Moore's. There you go.
Interesting. All right. You got one more story for us this evening?
One more.
Before we launch into Parashare? All right. What have you got?
Well, this one is about an exorcist that was paid 2,000 pounds a time to rid celebrity houses of evil spirits. And he claims that a demon once entered him and turned him suicidal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Interesting story.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Simon Ludgate has been performing exorcisms for the past decade and has a number of witches as friends. Don't we all, though? I mean, if you think about it. An exorcist who is paid 2,000 pounds a time to rid houses of evil spirits claims a demon once entered his body and turned him suicidal. 60-year-old Simon Ludgate from Kent says his interest in all things supernatural started as a child, but it wasn't until after the death of his mother that he decided to act on his paranormal powers. The father of two has spent the last decade performing hundreds of exorcisms, clearing homes of bad energy and releasing people from demonic attachments. I was never a normal kid. I'd always be creeping out with the other boys at school because I was always seeing things, he exclusively told The Sun Online. Demons with big clumpy hooves and angels surrounded by beautiful music. I saw ghosts, heard voices, and I could always tell when someone was possessed. Back then, I didn't really know what to do about it, but I found it hard to keep quiet. My mates all thought I was a weirdo. No. It wasn't until after his mom passed away in 2006 that everything started to fall into place. My mother was a healer, but I never gave it that much attention when I was younger, he said. When she died, however, I felt responsible for continuing her work. She told me before she died that that would be the case, that that's what happens in a family of psychics. Since then, Simon has worked as a healer, then became a shaman, which involves reaching altered states of consciousness to interact with the spirit world, and trained in Reiki, a Japanese form of alternative medicine. Some of his clients are well-known celebrities who he says pay thousands of pounds for him to clear their homes.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
Son, we are in the wrong business.
I know, right? I just thought of that.
Well, you know what? After Taco Bell, I've been known to clear a few homes, and I don't charge nearly that amount.
And you've got an equal amount of sulfur.
Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
I clear out good and bad energy on a regular basis.
There you go. So they pay thousands of pounds for him to clear their homes or bodies of bad spirits. I'm just thinking of how you'd accomplish that. They get me in to help them sell their properties.
Lots of the ghosts. They come hovering at me with their sheets. I just lift the sheets and turn around, and then they're like, come on!
Already? Again? The properties may have been on the market a while, and they're not shifting. So I go in, clear the place of dark energy, and usually a couple weeks later, the property sells. Look at that.
Nice.
He did an exorcism for a rich family where the husband had tragically committed suicide by jumping off the back of their 20 million pound six-story London mansion, leaving the wife alone with two kids. I cleared the house of its very heavy negative energy, he said. I asked her if she was happy with the spirit being in the house, and she said she was. So all the time I was cleansing her personally, I bet he was, he was standing behind me. He was a total car freak, and the house was full of car memorabilia. Simon has also performed an exorcism at a five-story, 6 million-pound house in Mayfair. It started because a celebrity couple's 8-year-old son kept saying to his mother he had been told to kill them. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
It was like a situation out of the Amityville Horror, he said. The relationships within the family began to break down. The couple were at each other's throats. And things were bordering on divorce proceedings. As soon as I entered the house, I sensed the presence of notorious Victorian Satanist Aleister Crowley and a very heavy satanic presence. When I researched it further, it turns out Crowley had conducted satanic rituals in that very house. The rituals were performed in the room at the top of the house, the room where their son slept. Simon, who fronts the show The Accidental Exorcist. You ever been to an accidental exorcism, by the way?
Yes, I told you, every time I clear the house, it's an accidental exorcism.
Your kids must have been cleansed like every other night.
They are just out of control. All right.
Simon Show, The Accidental Exorcist, has had to do battle with some pretty scary entities and claims to have suffered the consequences, too. He says, when I'm doing an exorcism, I have to make sure I'm properly spiritually protected, and I do this by performing a ritual. One time when I was exorcising a medieval witch's prison, the cage, I looked down into a hole in the floor, which had been dug up during an excavation. My defenses were down at the time, and I hadn't had time to perform a full protection ritual. And as I peered into the hole, a demon entered me. It took me three.
A demonic glory hole?
Well,
what happened?
That'll happen in prison. I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, my God.
You never want to bend over and be unprepared.
No. I don't even want to bend over and be prepared in prison, to be honest with you. Call me old-fashioned, Tim, but I don't think that's just not the place for me.
Well, it took me 3 weeks to get rid of it, he said, during which time I became... It just takes penicillin, really. During which time I became seriously depressed and even contemplated suicide. I'm not a depressive or suicidal person. This is how powerful a demon can be. During his work as a shamanic healer, Simon has come across people with afflictions that he says couldn't be explained in a physical sense. They were ill, displaying all manner of physical symptoms and often mental problems too, but weren't suffering from any particular condition, he said. It was then I realized that some of the problems couldn't be ascribed to mental health issues. It was more than that. This spurred Simon on to start looking into demonology. Once I knew that I was dealing with it, it all made sense, he said. The first time I encountered a demonic entity was during a dream. A thing like the creature in the film Alien came to me and inserted a black object like a cooling gel pad into my brain behind my frontal lobe. When I woke up, I'd lost all my psychic powers. The thing was, in fact, an archon, a demonic entity the human race has had to battle with for millennia, a witch I know later helped me to remove it, and it was very painful and traumatic. It worked through, and I was soon back to my normal psychic self. Simon, who shared his experiences in books, The Accidental Wizard and The Ghost Next Door, has been called upon to exorcise numerous places. He said, I once exorcised Glastonbury Tor. It had been taken over by the evil Egyptian god Set, and after I performed an exorcism, his presence left, and the Tor was calm again. Watching Simon perform these exorcisms can be quite eerie and unsettling. In an episode of The Accidental Exorcist, he visits a 16th century almshouse in Sutton Valence. Here he comes face to face with a malevolent spirit who refuses to leave. A battle ensues between the demon and the exorcist, during which Simon's eyes turn black. Ooh, he's a black-eyed exorcist. How about that? As he forces the demon out of a house. Meanwhile, during an exorcism at the cage, remember the cage, Simon felt it necessary to first cast out some bad energy from the former prison's owner, Vanessa Mitchell. Vanessa was newly pregnant at the time, so I had to tread really carefully, he said. Vanessa didn't realize how nerve-wracking this was for me, and I think I hit it well, but exorcisms are always a risky business, especially when there's a tiny baby thrown into the mix. The exorcism worked well, though. Vanessa felt a whole lot better afterwards, and she has since given birth to a gorgeous and healthy baby boy. There you go.
Well, congratulations on that, at least. There's a happy ending in the end, I guess. Isn't that, there's that redundantly redundant?
I think that happened in the jail after the
At least it all paid off. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I've got some celebrities with paranormal stories and a few regular people stories too. Tim, we'll go slumming and hear some regular people stories when we return to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio, and it's a Parashare Supernatural News Monday. We're going to do the Parashare aspect now, Tim.
All right.
And since these celebrities have come forth in public displays explaining their stories, I felt that we should share their para stories right here on our show, because it's always kind of cool to hear what celebrities believe they've had, what kind of exchanges they've had in the paranormal. We'll start off with a mother-daughter team, Tim, as I know was always your prayers and hopes in college.
Oh, God,
Kate Hudson and Goldie Hawn have felt a fifth energy. If you're going to encounter something wild, might as well do it with your mama.
Uh-huh.
During an appearance on the Alan Carr Show, Kate Hudson revealed that she and her mom, Goldie Hawn, saw something peculiar. It's not really seeing a ghost. It's a feeling of a spirit, a fifth energy, explained Hudson. I believe in energy. I believe our brains can manifest into visual things. When you see something, you are supposed to tell the energy what year it is and that they don't belong there. Then your brain is freaking out on you and you may just have to remind it. That's an interesting way to handle things.
Yeah, it is.
Tim Dennis, it is 2017. You do not belong here. Go back to 2015. Emma Stone receives quarters from her deceased grandpa. Emma Stone often feels the presence of her late grandfather, particularly when he leaves quarters laying about. There's a long family history with quarters, said Emma Stone in an interview with David Letterman. My grandfather just leaves quarters, and it's just, it's amazing. It's him. It's absolutely him. It's such a long story that you'd have to go to commercial break five times and roll to a clip and then come back and I'd still be telling the same story. But I promise you, it's him. You guys, it's him. So I don't know if you've picked up on it, but she believes it's him, Tim.
I believe she thinks it's him.
Kendrick Lamar, Tim.
Yeah.
The hip hop icon. Is that a fair assessment?
Hip hop icon? Absolutely. The kid's on fire.
Yeah, he has explained that while he was sleeping, Tupac-a-Day Shaker, his ghost visited him. Isn't that his name, Tupac?
No, it's Tupac Shakur, Dave. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I'm not real up on the urban slang, Tim. So the what'd you say that was?
Tupac Shakur, Dave.
Okay, Tupac Shakur.
Yeah,
which is the way Bond likes his martinis,
right?
Shakur and not stirred.
Right, right.
He said he saw Tupac's ghost and that it visited him. In an interview with GQ, he detailed the account. I remember being tired, tripping from the studio, lying down, and falling into a deep sleep, and seeing a vision of Pac talking to me. stated Lamar. I feel like I'm not giving it quite the right emphasis.
Probably not.
When I read this, yeah. Tim, I might be too white for this story.
No, you're doing fine.
He goes on to say, weirdest shit ever. I'm not huge on superstition and all that shit. That's what made it so crazy. It could make you go nuts hearing somebody that you looked up to for years saying, don't let the music die, man. Hearing it clear as day, like he's right there, just a silhouette.
That's if Kendrick Lamar were played by Will Ferrell.
Adele and the Haunted Mansion is our next story, Tim. I would pay to see that. In 2012, Adele moved into a gorgeous new home, but she soon began hearing strange noises that gave her the creeps. The 25-acre West Sussex property used to be a convent and even had its own chapel. Despite upping her security team, Adele was utterly distressed by her latest lavish purchase. Adele was so excited to be renting such a lavish property, but it has not turned out as happily as it should have, a source disclosed to The Sun. She is convinced it's haunted. She knows about its religious history, and it's a big place to be in on your own in the dead of night. Well, why would you need to rent a 25-acre, gigantic, former religious mansion if you're there by yourself anyway?
I don't know.
Let's talk about your favorite hippie and mine. Who's true? The more I read about this guy, you know, I've never been a huge fan of his acting, I got to be honest. But the more I've read about this guy, and I don't know if it's just clickbait bullshit, but the more I read about him, the more I just want to be his best friend. And I kind of want to – I just want to cuddle with him and watch movies.
Hmm.
This next story is about Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
When he was about 6 or 7, Keanu Reeves saw something that he's never been able to shake out of his memory while playing in his family's NYC apartment. That's New York City, Tim. Oh. Reeves looked upon a strange sight. Like, all of a sudden, we're, like, looking at the doorway, and, like, this jacket comes waving through, and I'm like, whoa, Reeves recounted during an interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Just an empty jacket, and there's, like, no head, you know? It's like a prom date with your sister, no head, but there's a body. There's no legs. It's just there, and then it disappears. And I was, like, a little kid, so I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. All right, I got to work on my imitations of Lamar Kedrick and Keanu Reeves, apparently. Did I say that name right? Lamar Kedrick?
No. It's now you got me screwed up on it.
So that's it. But have you read about what a great guy Keanu Reeves is?
I feel like
he gave
a lot of his
money to employees of the Matrix films, and he rides a subway, gives up his seat for people, and he's just like I guess one of the nicest guys on planet Earth. You know who else is supposed to be like this? And I despise him for it. Is Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
I want to hate him, but I can't.
But you can't.
No, because he's a good guy, and he does great things, and he's out trying to help children that are being trafficked.
Yeah, white slavery.
Why did I say it like that? Trafficked. but he's a great guy too. So Jessica Alba was haunted by her bed cover.
Oh, I'd like to haunt her.
Yeah, I bet the bed cover, because you were probably laying on it all oiled up, just imagining that she was there with you, Tim. And when you got up thinking you'd been all sneaky, you just like left a big imprint of your oily body on her bed cover.
I'd love to.
That's
be,
why she was afraid.
I'd love to be your big hairy duvet.
At the tender age of 17, Jessica Alba had a rather odd and funny, at least to us, supernatural experience, according to this article. I had no idea what it was, revealed Alba. I felt this pressure and I couldn't get up. I couldn't scream. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. I think I got her voice down.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, no.
I'll try it again.
Okay.
Something definitely took the covers off of me.
No,
and I definitely couldn't get out of bed.
That is a boner killer. You stop it. Stop it right now.
Once I did, I screamed and I ran to my parents' room, and I don't think I spent many nights in that house ever again. There was definitely something in my parents' old house. I don't know what it was. I can't really explain it, but they got it blessed, and then they burned sage and stuff since then. Yeah, I bet they burned some stuff. Yeah, I don't sense anything, do you? Cher was visited by Sonny Bono's ghost. Do you believe in the afterlife after death? It seemed like Cher does. A legendary singer claimed that her husband has playful visits with her. During a Reddit Q&A, Cher said, "I love ghosts. I actually think that Sonny makes a light go on. I have a beautiful chandelier that he makes the light go on whenever it's possible. There is no power on, no light switch on, and the lights will go on and off. I love ghosts. I prefer ghosts to some people," she says. Wasn't real engaging. Well, finally, story that you're gonna love, Tim.
Okay.
Because this story is all right. When Matthew McConaughey argued with Madame Bleu. Oh, who really knows what's going on inside the head of this beautifully weird man, Tim? In fact, Matthew McConaughey shared a weird story about arguing with a spirit lady. And yes, it's a very confusing story. I know that's hard to believe, Tim, coming from Matthew McConaughey.
No.
Talk about puff, puff, pass. I was not even under the influence this time. And she, a spirit named Madame Bleu, was there, detailed McConaughey. She wasn't that happy. It didn't seem like she was going to be much fun to hang around or have in my house, so I just went ahead and stood my ground. I opened the door and said, "You can move around all you want, but I'm not going anywhere." For weeks, everyone that came into the house said the same thing. "There's someone down in that hall. There's somebody down in that hall." Apparently that was William Shatner visiting him on that one.
I guess.
Melissa McCarthy and the Grumpy Ghost. Melissa McCarthy has admitted to believing in ghosts, but she hasn't always stumbled upon the nicest ones. "I do believe in ghosts," McCarthy told Us Weekly. "I lived in a house in Boulder, Colorado, that every time you walked up there, everyone who walked up there said, 'Oh, I don't like this place.' There was just a dark presence surrounding it." Ariana Grande's demon experience, Tim. That's her. Is that wrong? While in Kansas City, Ariana Grande visited Stoll Cemetery, which, according to the pop star, is known as one of the seven gates to hell on earth, and the Pope won't fly over it. During the car ride, Grande felt sick, smelled sulfur, and saw a fly in the car. The singer claims all of these are signs of a demon, so she decided to leave, but Grande did manage to snap a photo before driving off. "I rolled down the window before we left and said, 'We apologize. We didn't mean to disrupt your peace.'" Was that better? Did I capture her mousy voice?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's what she stated in an interview with Complex. "Then I took a picture, and there are three super distinct faces in the picture. They're faces of textbook demons." Are those like nerd demons that do a lot of studying, Tim? What is a textbook demon?
Yeah, you nailed it. Yep.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus had to move out because of a little boy's ghost while living in her flat in London. Miley Cyrus experienced something truly mind-boggling. And no, Tim, it wasn't just her father's mullet. "One night, my little sister, it sounds crazy to tell you, but she was standing in the shower, and all of a sudden, I hear her scream," Cyrus disclosed in Elle UK interview. "I run in there, and the water had somehow flipped to hot, but it was still. It wasn't like the water had just changed. The knob had turned, but she hadn't turned it, and it was like burning her. She was really red. I thought I saw a little boy sitting on the sink watching me take a shower, so I felt really freaked out. I was sitting there, and the next night, and maybe I'm crazy, but I could have sworn I could have seen this little boy sitting there on the sink kicking his feet. We found out later that this older man that owned it, the bakery, and his son lived with him there. Then I guess the wife died or something. She had gotten sick, so it was just the son and the dad that lived in that bakery. And then the dad died, and the son took over the bakery. And I thought I was seeing the son. I'm not even kidding. I had to move. That's not a lie. I'll never stay there ever again." Miley, you poor, deluded, tongue-sticking-out freak show.
Yeah.
The mom died. The father died.
Mm-hmm.
The son is the son's still alive, Miley. So he wouldn't be the one that was haunting you.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're about to see the latest installment of the Star Wars movies, Tim.
Oh yeah. Looking forward to it.
First, we've lost General Leia Organa.
Right.
Formerly of Alderaan. But she has a story to share from the grave, Tim.
Oh.
One's favorite badass warrior, Carrie Fisher, claimed that her home was haunted by the late Republican strategist R. Gregory Stevens. The politician overdosed in her house back in 2005. Lights would go on and off, Fisher revealed in an interview with Vanity Fair. And I had this toy machine that when you touched it, it would say, fuck you, eat shit, you're an asshole. It would go off the night by itself in my closet. I was a nut for a year. And in that year, I took drugs again, Tim.
That's the ghost I want to be.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Republican strategist R. Gregory Stevens is what pushed Carrie Fisher back into drugs. Nice job, jackass.
Yeah, way to go.
Selena Gomez loves a good ghost app. During an appearance on The Tonight Show, Selena Gomez disclosed some spooky details about her life, Tim.
Hmm.
The fact that she has the face of a 5-year-old and the body of a kicking 22-year-old, Tim.
Well.
That's creepy to me.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I believe in ghosts, so I have a ghost app, Selena confessed to host Jimmy Fallon. I believe that spirits can tap into technology. Why not, right? Look, I was in a venue and it actually said people in my life by name, Tim. By name. I wonder if that was the Iovilus. Yeah.
If that was what?
If it was the Iovilus.
Hmm.
But. Tool that she'd chosen. And not to be outdone, Tim, not to be outdone by the other princesses that we've talked about,
right?
Like Ariana Grande, mm-hmm. Miley Cyrus, mm-hmm. and of course Princess Leia,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Selena Gomez,
right?
But Demi Lovato had to chime in because she can't just be the only singer that pop princess that hadn't had a ghostly encounter.
Sure.
Said she needed the help of mediums and ghost hunters for her dilemma. Turns out Demi Lovato found herself in quite the supernatural pickle. So she had to call on her trusty backup. My house in Texas is so ridiculously haunted, Lovato shared in an interview. Not by a bad spirit, but a little girl. I think her name is Emily. I've had a medium come over and ghost hunters, and they both told me the same name, Emily. There were so many times that I saw her when I was growing up. I saw her in my closet one time. When I was 3 years old, my mom caught me talking to something by myself. She asked, who are you talking to? And I said, my best friend, Emily. She's playful. She's probably around 11 or 12 years old or maybe younger, Demi Lovato says.
Hmm.
Kesha had to outdo them all, though, Tim.
She drank her own pee.
Well, she did that, but she got frisky with supernatural sexy ghost, Tim, during an interview with Ryan, How Am I Still on the Air, Seacrest. Pop star Kesha admitted that she once got a little hot and heavy with a spirit. I got a song called Supernatural, Kesha explained. The song was about having sex with a ghost. I lived in this flop house at Rural Canyon, and there was this weird energy that lived there, and it used to keep me at night and wake me up, and it progressed into this dark sexual spirit. It did scare me, but that's part of the fun of it. I had a couple of experiences with the supernatural. I don't know his name. He was a ghost, and I'm very open to it. Where does she live? I'm going to get a sheet and head over there right now.
Yeah, she's just a dirty freak. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But she's fascinating to me. Well, how about Rob Lowe? While talking about his show, The Lowe Files, Rob Lowe struggled to explain how a paranormal device allowed him to communicate with a ghost. There's a device they use that the theory is it can translate, that the spirits can talk through this device, for lack of a better term, recalled Lowe during the 2017 TCA Summer Press Tour. Don't ask me out. Don't ask me the science because I don't know. My son John just thinks it's randomly programmed to say words at any given time, which it could be, but how does it know to say the word? It said the dead woman's name, where she was murdered. Judge for yourself. I don't want to seem like a nut. I don't want to end my career here. I don't think you can. At this point, you're just still too damn good looking, Rob. People have forgiven you for everything you've ever been a part of. So I think your career is safe. Gillian Anderson believes, even though Scully doesn't, Tim, that the X-Files star Gillian Anderson ran into some paranormal forces both on and off screen. She says, I've definitely felt spirits, Anderson admitted during a Reddit Q&A. I'm quite sensitive to it, and yes, but it's not something you can really talk about with too many people, especially not me. And that's all she gives, so it wasn't much of a revelation.
Hmm.
Marilyn Manson summoned the underworld by mistake. But dial it? How do you do that by accident? When he was a teenager, Marilyn Manson was coerced by his peers to read the incantations in a dark, haunted cellar. During an episode of Celebrity Ghost Stories, Manson revealed that the recited lines of texts summoned demonic whispers, which then asked Manson if he believed in Satan. I believe in the fact that there is energy, and if you mess with it, something can happen. Tim, I don't know why I'm suddenly reading like that. That's what Manson says. All right, well, you talked a little bit earlier about Megan Fox believing she might be an alien.
Yeah.
Megan Fox heard a bunch of ghosts in Mexico. While filming in Mexico, Tim, Megan Fox had a brief but memorable experience with ghosts. I've heard ghosts. I was just in Mexico at my hotel, stated Fox, and at 7 a.m., I had pre-ordered breakfast for 7:30 a.m. I heard them come in with the little table. I heard them pouring coffee, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to get up for another 30 minutes, and my coffee's going to be cold. That sucks. So I got up 30 minutes later, no coffee, no table, no nothing. I heard the doorbell ring. I answered the door. It's room service with my food. They bring it in. I turn around, and all the bedroom lights are on, and I'm like, you know what? I'm delirious. I've been traveling. Drink your coffee. Brandy, the nanny, comes in later, and she's like, why did room service come in at 7 when we told them to be here at 7:30? So you can't tell me I'm crazy because two people heard it, Tim. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
Ace Frehley thinks a ghost pushed his wife and daughter down the steps. At least that's the story he's sticking with, Tim. founding Kiss guitarist, not Giss guitarist, Ace Frehley believes that on two separate occasions, a ghost violently pushed his wife and daughter down the steps of their home. I always had a sense that there was some type of connection with me on the other side, Frehley revealed in an episode of Celebrity Ghost Stories. They don't really want to get too deeply involved in these stories, it appears. They're just going to give us a taste. Oh, here's another one, Tim. We've already talked about all the other pop princesses, so why not talk about Lord?
Yeah, why not?
Not God, Tim. Oh. Not the Lord. Oh. Lord. Oh. Lordy from over in Australia.
I was going to say.
Lord left. What?
I would think God would have had some ghost experiences, yeah.
Yeah. Lord left her fans and the world confused with this cryptic tweet. Ghosts in the studio don't want us to record tonight. They are leaving their ghost hum on everything. Buzz. Well, that wasn't much of a story. Anna Nicole Smith also had sex with a ghost, Tim. Reality TV pioneer Anna Nicole Smith was definitely a showstopper, but everyone was shocked when Smith revealed that she had had a hookup with a ghost. A ghost would crawl up my leg and have sex with me in an apartment a long time ago in Texas, recalled Smith in an FHM interview. I used to think it was my boyfriend. Then one day I woke up. So what? For the most part, she'd just be like, oh, it's my boyfriend. I'll just continue to sleep. I used to think it was my boyfriend. And one day I woke up and it wasn't. It was like a spirit and... woo, miming ghost flying from her bed sheets went up. I was freaked out about it, but then I was like, well, you know what? He's never hurt me, and he just gave me some amazing sex, so I have no problem. It was not a dream because it was happening every night. I told my boyfriend, and he didn't believe me. Oh, of course, men.
How amazing could it be? You slept through it.
Right, the first couple times.
Yeah.
Lucy Liu also had sex with a ghost, Tim. While promoting Chuck's Angels in 1999, Lucy Liu revealed to Us Weekly that she had a sexual encounter with a ghost. Some sort of spirit came down from God knows where and made love to me, said Liu. It was sheer bliss. I felt everything. I climaxed. And then he floated away. It was almost like what might have happened to Mary. That's how it felt. Something came down and touched me. And now it watches over me. That's called stalkery, Tim. Why is it nice if that happens? But, oh, Dave Schrader hovers over you in a white sheet with some baby powder puffed on his face.
Huh?
And that's creepy, right? That's
what?
Creepy. Alice Cooper felt a poltergeist disturbance. Back in 1984, Alice Cooper wrote her song with Joe Perry at an old house in Copake, New York, when a poltergeist started to mess with them. Every time I would put something down, I'd go to the other room, I'd come back, and it was some other place, stated Cooper in an interview with Rolling Stone. It was more playful than scary. We were both just out of rehab, so we figured we were just insane. Then I asked my manager, Shep, what is with your house up in Copake? And he said, oh, the guy wrote Amityville Horror there. How about that? That's an interesting aspect of the Amityville story I was unfamiliar with.
Hmm.
Did you know about that one?
No. Well, I'd heard that story before, yeah, but I didn't.
But that's the guy that wrote it in that house?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Huh. How about Sherry Curry? Do you know who that is?
No.
Sherry Curry had a strange Ouija board obsession. The front woman of The Runaways. Oh, Sherry Curry from The Runaways. Okay, there. She had several strange experiences with a Ouija board. As a 12-year-old, she became obsessed with the supernatural game, which she claims sent her into fits of rage if anyone tried to take it away from her. I wanted to reach out to the other side, but wish I hadn't, Curry said in an interview. Something had attached itself to me. I wasn't myself. Curry attributes her lashing out towards her family as a direct result of whatever spirits came out of the Ouija board. People and their excuses. I say shenanigans, Tim.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but...
No, you're not.
No?
No, you're not.
A lot of rock and roll chicks are having issues with the ghostesses.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it for my celebrity paranormal stories, Tim.
Huh.
Let's just go to the real people, shall we?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, very cool. Let's get back into this. Again, I want to get into some of these last few stories, if you don't mind, for Parashare.
Sure.
Here's a first one. It says, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't scare easily. I'm not scared of the dark or horror movies or anything like that. I honestly can't remember the last time I was terrified enough to not be able to sleep. That being said, it was 3 years ago, and my now wife and I were babysitting her nephews while her parents were on vacation. During those 5 days, we stayed at their house and slept in the extra guest bedroom. The residents who lived in that house prior to my sister-in-law had a child that passed away in the house. He was like 8 or 10, I think, and just died in his sleep one night. And that is what's now the guest best bedroom. I almost said ghost bedroom, but I guess that fits too. On the third night of sleeping there, I woke up suddenly at like 4 a.m. I was sleeping on my back when all of a sudden I felt an open hand slap my chest, like hard enough to wake me up out of a deep sleep. And I slept through thunderstorms and smoke alarms going off. This, I'm a deep sleeper. This shook me. I shot up and looked over at my wife next to me, still fast asleep. I get out of bed to check on the kids, and sure enough, still asleep as well. I have very sensitive, pale skin that shows any kind of irritation. Sure enough, I look down, and there's a red patch on my chest. It's about 5 inches or so wide, and just kind of oblong shaped. To this day, I still don't know what happened, but something in that room was not right. Here's another story. I was doing laundry in my condo one day, in an actual apartment, not a common area, and when I turned around to walk away from the washer, something was right there in front of me. Not, I think I saw something. It was the feeling of turning around and almost walking right into someone. Then suddenly, nothing was there. That is a memory burned into my brain. The next story, my family owned a small restaurant in our small town. One night, while taking stock in the cellar around 11:30 to midnight, my dad heard a voice scream, "Get out!" and stuff flew off the shelves. He went home, came back the next day to the same trashed cellar, so it wasn't some delusion or something. All right, this one is, I was 6 to 7 years old. Saturday morning, I wanted to eat cereal, but there was no milk. So I decided to go to a small store that is on the same block as my house. As I walk to it, about 50 or so meters away from my home, and I see the owner outside looking at his store, which is closed. I say hi to him. He says, hello. I ask if they're not opening today, and he says, no, not today. And I didn't think anything of it. I say, oh, okay, thank you. He asked me to say hi to my parents for him. Then they've been neighbors and friends for more than 30 years at that time. I go home, make some toast. I see my parents are dressing up. I ask them where they're going, and my mom says they're going to Mr. Ricardo's wake, who died last night. Mr. Ricardo was the owner of the store where I went, the one I saw and talked to just 30 minutes before. And in this one, it says a neighbor acquaintance committed suicide. I saw him multiple times in the apartment post his death. I was never a ghost or spirit guy, but after Roger passed and I saw him, I became an ardent believer. There's another one they call the vindictive vision. Hearing voices whisper that we were not welcome in the house as the covers were ripped off my bed and flew across the room immediately prior to a car coming through the wall of my bedroom, inches from crushing me. The car was on a hill and the owner swore he always set his parking brake and turns his wheels in. We moved out. Strange stuff stopped completely. The ghosts can just have that damn house. Now, this is one of the other creepy ones when you start talking about kids, man. Kids involved in these stories, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was a baby, a black silhouette used to stand over my crib. My mom thought it was my eldest brother, so she called his name, and the black silhouette turned around and went into the closet. So she got up to check on me and check on my three older siblings in a room that was maybe 4 feet away from the master bedroom, and they were all sound asleep. She then checked the closet where the figure went, and there was nothing there. I slept in bed with her and my dad until my little brother was born. Then we shared a bed in the master bedroom until we got our own room. This one's entitled One Last Goodbye. My cousin died in a car accident when she was 20 years old. At the time, she was living with our grandparents, which was a hobby farm about half an hour out of town. She worked late and would get home by about 10:30 every night. She went off the road while driving home after work one night. After the accident, I was with my other cousin in her room looking at some of her stuff. She had an alarm clock that would light up different colors and you could plug your phone into it and play music. It's also important to note that her room was at the end of a hallway upstairs when we heard someone walk up the stairs, then walk down the hallway right outside her door. We opened the door and there was no one there. Then her alarm clock turned on and set itself off at 8 a.m. the next morning. We had instant goosebumps. So there's a little bit of a different kind of take on Parish here. You get some celebrity stories, some one-on-one with regular people just like Tim and I. I hope you guys have enjoyed it and our supernatural news. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. You've been listening to Beyond the Darkness.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.